Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Support and Kindness Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Shaw. Today is Saturday, November the 22nd, 2025, and we're diving deep into one of the most powerful and challenging obstacles in addiction recovery, and that's substance use nostalgia. Nostalgia itself is often a common and comforting emotion, a sentimental longing for the past, and we use it to connect with cherished memories, and it can even boost our motivation and sense of belonging. But substance use nostalgia, also known as addiction-related nostalgia, that's a dangerous distortion of that feeling. It's a longing for the feelings and the experiences associated with drug substances or alcohol, and it's a significant trigger for relapse. Substance use nostalgia is not a healthy memory. It's a mental trap that romanticizes the past by selectively recalling only the positive highs, the euphoria, and the perceived social connection or the sense of escape, while completely filtering out the negative consequences like withdrawal, hangovers, or embarrassment. And it creates ambivalence, making it difficult to stay committed to sobriety by creating internal conflict between the desire for recovery and the idealized memory of using. It acts like a siren song, offering a mental escape from recovery's hardships, pulling you back into harmful habits, creating the false belief that you can use again without consequences. But how do we identify the triggers? Nostalgia for the past often sparks strong cravings. Triggers are emotional, environmental, or social cues that remind the brain of past substance use. And they usually fall into two categories as internal triggers. These are thoughts and feelings, including both physical sensations, often summarized by the acronym HALT, or hungry, angry, lonely, tired, with had that acronym on here before, or sadness and anxiety. And then there's external triggers, and these include former people who used to use, physical locations like old hangouts, or specific objects, also known as paraphernalia. Even positive events like celebrations or overconfidence can trigger the urge to use again. Your plan to cope: a craving is a temporary wave that fades if you don't give in. Managing it requires a two-step plan. There's immediate internal protocol, the three R's. When the urge hits, recognize the feeling for what it is. It's a craving. Remind yourself that you don't have to act on it, and if possible, remove yourself from that situation. And external support and action: lean on your support system, like a sponsor, a friend, family, and use distraction techniques like exercise, a game, or calling a supportive person to get you through the moment. For substance use nostalgia specifically, recognize a selective memory and focus on the present day by doing activities that bring you joy in your sober life. In this episode, we're exploring substance use nostalgia, sharing personal stories, and reviewing coping strategies. You'll get some practical tools to stay grounded when your mind tempts you to relive the past. Today, I'm joined by my co-hosts. I've got Rich, Jay, Liam, and my good friend, Derek. And I'd like to start with Derek. Do you want to introduce yourself to the listeners and share a little bit about what you brought you to the podcast today?
Hi, Greg. Yes, thank you for the introduction. My name is Derek, and my TBI happened well over, 12 years ago. My morbid mnemonic device is: the night that we fell backward, I fell backwards down a flight of stairs, but on bump. I was also drunk, so two bird, one stone. But from that, I've grown. Plenty of obstacles in the road, but I found a good way to groove, and a lot of what you said is a part of that. I may have done a few things slightly differently, but I know what works for me and what doesn't work for me. And I'm very long-winded, so I'll pass the baton off onto someone else. But thank you for the introduction.
Thanks for joining us, Derek. Hopefully this will be the first of many more to come. Rich, I'll pass it to yourself. Substance use nostalgia, interesting topic. And I know it sparked some conversation back and forth between us when we floated this topic. But what are your thoughts on this subject?
We have. It's an interesting subject. You know, it romanticizes the past, which we were talking before we came in. And it can, you know, depending on how far along you are in recovery, or at any time, I guess, can be really dangerous to romanticize former drug use. You're putting yourself back in that position, putting yourself back in that place, whether it's because a song comes on that reminds you, or, you know, a social connection or something that reminds you. You're remembering the euphoria and the social connection and the fun, and you're forgetting the the pain or the harm and the negative consequences associated with the substance use. I definitely have found that having a very, very long time abstinent away from my substance, 27 years having been abstinent a long time, that my cravings are not, I don't view them as threatening. I don't view them as craving. I view them purely as memory of youth and nothing more. But when they were fresh, when I was newly sober, they were aggressive cravings. They were things that I fought against. And that's the path of recovery.
Right, that'll certainly come with time, right? And as you mature in your sobriety and get more time in, those triggers can become less. But they could come back again. We've got to be careful of that. Liam, how about yourself? What comes to mind on this topic for you?
Yeah, it's a phenomenal topic because I think everybody can really, really identify with this. Me personally, I have so many memories that revolve around substance use. And the problem with my memories is there's a lot of good in those memories because it also revolved around music. And I played a lot of gigs with a lot of really nice, interesting people. And we had a lot of great times. So, I like to romanticize about those, but then you run into the problem where you're romanticizing about times when you were very, there was a young man there naming me that was in a lot of trouble mentally because I was trying to treat so many things with substances. And I really didn't get to enjoy totally all the great experiences I was having because I was masking so much underlying pain with all these substances. So, yeah, I did have great experiences, but how much better could they have been if I was sober and had so much more clarity? It's kind of a balancing act for me. I mean, I don't want to be ashamed of the things I did. I want to remember those with great fondness, but also learn from the past. And yeah, like Rich was saying, they can also be really big triggers, which can be dangerous. And so you just got to be really careful with those. But it's such a great topic because I just think everybody really has so much to speak on about this.
Liam, you bring out a good point about focusing on the whole picture, though, not just remembering the feeling of the highs or the feeling of the high, but focusing on the whole picture and the ways that it affected you and your life, all aspects of your life. That's a good point.
Absolutely.
Liam, what are some triggers for you that come up or that could come up?
Well, I've been thinking about this a lot lately because I'm in a spot right now where my condition was hindering me from playing music, and now I'm kind of on the mend a little bit, and the thought of going back to playing music is a scary proposition because one of the reasons I've been steering clear is because of my sobriety, and I need to be selfish in my sobriety and not let anything deter that. But going back to playing music and have all those memories flooding back and seeing familiar faces can be a really big trigger. So I'm kind of at a, it's a bit of a conundrum to, I love music, but I don't want to sacrifice my sobriety for that. So I've got to make it work somehow. And I mean, I want to look forward to that challenge, and still be able to have the great memories, but be able to probably remember them better. So yeah, I think it's a real juggling act that I'm gonna have to face, and hopefully I'm prepared with enough ammunition that those things aren't too triggering, that I can still have, those fond memories, but create new ones with a new clarity to them.
Right. And Rich, before we go over to Jay, staying on the topic of triggers, what are some triggers for you? I know that when we were sharing about this initially, you were talking about, is it blotter paper? You were playing around with, or you were remembering blotter
Yeah,
paper, have I got that
blotter
right?
paper. And I found a a art group that looks at the design on blotter paper,
What
where
is blotter paper, just for anyone who doesn't know?
it's for acid. So, but it has artistic designs on it, and you can, there are groups that discuss the artistic designs on blotter paper and the historic prints and series that have run through history. But that art turns to nostalgia about the particular strain or run, that particular run of that particular batch of acid. And then people start talking very positively about drugs. And very quickly, you find yourself in a conversation where people are not talking about artwork anymore, but they're talking about drugs and the positives to them, you know, their positives, their experiences, their enjoyment. And it's like, I came here to look at artwork and to be reminded of this, which is probably walking a line in the first place, to be honest. But it very quickly devolved into people discussing strength of dosages and all sorts of horrible. Not horrible, but all sorts of historic facts about drug on paper, not art on paper. And I had to excuse myself.
Right, that must have been difficult. Jay, what about yourself? What comes to mind for you on this topic of substance use nostalgia, and what are some triggers for you? Do you not don't watch out?
Well, I just first want to say I'm glad we have such a full house here today. I'm glad Derek is joining us. It means that we might be making an impact and reaching out farther. So that makes me happy. I want to first say that don't let these, or well, I know that's easier said than done, but try not to let these triggers take away the progress that you've made if you're in recovery. You are worth more than that. I just said this to a friend yesterday. Don't let a woman derail the progress you've made. You're worth more than that. You're loved. People love you. And I would hate to see someone relapse from something as small as a trigger, like a song or a smell or a blotter paper, you know. So you're worth more than that. But I've actually had some great times with substances. I hate to say that, but you know, when it's normal, you know, you're in high school, it's people just think you're being a kid. And I can remember my senior year, it felt like we were kings. It was straight out of the movie A Dazed and Confused. It was cruising around, you know, just all my buddies listening to good music. And so I have had good times with it, but it started getting unhealthy when I was, you know, 21 and caused me to have a drunk driving accident. Thank God I didn't hurt anybody else, but that's when it starts to become a problem, when you're not just drinking at a bar with your buddies, you're going and buying a bottle of liquor to take home with you. You know, that's where it starts to get uncontrollable. I think a lot of triggers can be music and locations. I think if you're in early recovery, you shouldn't put yourself in situations like that, like maybe being in a restaurant that could be also a bar. Could see, you know, the bottles of liquor. You could, you know, just try and avoid places that you think that these things might come up. I actually just had an experience today where I was standing outside of a store and a car went by playing a song that I used to listen to when I was in high school, and it can take you right back to that moment. You can actually almost feel like you're transported there and you're living it again. And that's scary. But you also need to keep in mind that these feelings pass. They're not forever. You just need to count your blessings. You need to be appreciative for what you have and appreciative for the time you put in. I put in a lot of time. I've been sober almost 11 years, and I still get triggers today. But as I've said in other podcasts, it does get easier. The longer that you're away from your substance, the less it becomes part of your routine. When you're in the first 90 days, it's still a part of you. You still fantasize about it. But now I can honestly say that unless I hear something on TV or again walk into a restaurant that also has a bar, I tend not to think about it. These triggers and cravings reduce with time. So just keep in mind it does get easier, I promise you.
Thanks, Jane. I know for me, some of the triggers that I used to have, I couldn't keep canisters of inhalants. I couldn't keep the duster for the keyboard or cigarette lighter gas in the house because they're a form of inhalant. And for me, just seeing that canister, if I looked at it the wrong way one day, it could have been sat on the desk for weeks and weeks. And just one day, the sun would be setting in a certain direction, the wind would be blowing, and I'd see that canister and I could taste it. I could taste the sensation. I could taste the fluttering in my chest as my heart was speeding up, and I could feel that euphoric wave rising up from within me. And triggers such as that. And for me, I can't tempt fate. So I'm, reasonably long in my sobriety, a couple of years from inhalants now, I think, with many years in between. So, I mean, I've had like long periods of sobriety, but tempting fate. I've got a little, I know you can't see it, but I've got a battery powered blower now that kind of blows the dust off it's like a reverse vacuum cleaner, if you will, but it blows the dust off the keyboard. So I have to use that, But Derek, I'm not sure if I asked you about triggers for you. What are some potential triggers if you don't watch out?
For myself, it's not necessarily visual or audio, mostly because I've reached a place in my life where, oh, I've had tremendous, tremendous times under whatever substance, but I stick to my guns where when that I cannot think of the turn of phrase. It's taken its course. I've ridden that path. I'm messing up but you get the gist. But it's emotional upheaval where I just get this flare of wanting to scream into a pillow, or I'm actually did it earlier today. I was doing yard work and I just few adult choice words, but then just breathe. I figured out I'm not a standard person, but I figured out little tricks for myself where I'll just endure and then it'll pass, and then I just move on to the next thing, and I just focus on something productive and practical. And whether it's just seemingly mundane or meaningful, but just I get through it. And then, yeah, there is that turn of phrase with the AA, one day at a time, but I'm not going to relapse. I choose to not let it get the best of me because I've come too far to muck it up over one stupid little fleeting moment of grief. So, and plus I already know what's going to happen. Oh, it's just one little swig. No, 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 no. You have done that plenty of times, Derek. Do not do that again. I'm never going to get the shakes. Yes, you did. Yes, you. How many plans have you canceled because of that? We're not doing that again. Don't backslide. So again, morbid sense of humor, but I'll spare those details. I've learned how to knowingly not trick myself, but I know what I'm doing when I'm doing it, but it still works out for myself. And I'm speaking rather generically at the moment, but I can't exactly put what I'm thinking into words per se. But yeah, I'll yeah,
Thanks,
sorry.
Derek. Gentlemen, any other more thoughts come to mind on this topic? Jay, what do you got?
I want to say that there's also positive nostalgia. I have, and we've discussed this before, but I think it's worth discussing again. I have this 10-year coin that is very, very valuable to me. It might only be a piece of metal, a piece of tin, but it really means something to me. And when I look at this, it takes me back to, my early sobriety where I met a lot of people that cared about me in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous. And there's positive nostalgia out there too. I carry this with me everywhere I go because it truly means something, a decade, and that's a big number. So there is positive nostalgia out there as well.
Thanks, Jay. Anyone else have any thoughts before we close? Okay, thank you, gentlemen. It's been another great podcast. As we wrap up, I want to say this very clearly. If you feel that pullback to the old using days, you're not broken and you're not alone. Substance use nostalgia and cravings are a normal part of recovery, and they don't mean that you failed. Remember the three R's, that simple tools we talked about. Recognize the cravings, remind yourself that you don't have to act on it, and if possible, remove yourself from the trigger when you can. Check in with home, am I hungry, angry, lonely, tired? And taking care of all those basic needs can lower the urge to use. A craving is like a wave. It rises and it falls, and you don't have to ride it all the way to relapse. You also don't have to do this alone. Reach out to your support system, your sponsor, your recovery group, a trusted friend or family member. There are also programs like Smart Recovery and other mutual aid groups that offer tools to cope with urges and triggers. We've put links to the Smart Free Tools and Urge Logs in the show notes, along with some other helpful resources. 988, if you're in the United States or you're in crisis or you're thinking of harming yourself, you can call 988. That's the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. And if you're looking for treatment options, you can go to findtreatment.gov to search for support near you. And we've also linked to SAMHSA's recovery resources and a PubMed research article on addiction-related nostalgia for those who like the science side of things. Please remember, this podcast is not therapy or medical care. It's a companion and a conversation. And if this topic brought up a lot for you, consider talking to a doctor, therapist, counselor, or someone who knows your story. Thank you for spending this time with us today. Thank you to my co-hosts, Rich, Liam, Derek, and Jay, for sharing the space and their heart. And keep being kind to yourself. One day, one craving, one honest conversation at a time. I'm Greg, and this has been the Support and Kindness Podcast. We'll see you next time.